Let us pray. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for those thrilling words that all that you were doing in Ephesus, that the word of God spread with power. And we pray that you would take your written word and by your spirit make it a living word in us, that that same word might spread throughout this town, this county, this nation in power for the glory of your name. Amen. Our God is greater, we sang. Of course, the people in Ephesus, we've just been reading about, would disagree. Great is Artemis of Ephesus. Now, of course, on our television screens of recent months, really, we've grown used to maybe seeing group of armed men or others, great crowds of people calling out, God is great. In other languages, Dios es grande, Allah Akbar. And sometimes when you see it, and I imagine if you're in such a crowd, it can either be very awesome and exciting, or if you're of some minority that doesn't agree with what the people there believe, it can be very frightening. And of course, we are much in prayer, I hope, for those who find themselves in that situation. And so it was in this great city of Ephesus, a port town like our own here. And here was this great crowd of people in a stadium that I think sat something like 30,000 people. And there were crowds of them. And for 2 hours, they were crying, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And there we just heard in that reading that there were a couple of minority faiths present, a couple of Christians and a few Jews. We can imagine what it was like for them. So what, as it said here in the scriptures, the whole city was in an uproar. What had caused it? Well, I suppose briefly one could say that it's because the good news about Jesus Christ had been preached by this guy Paul, accompanied by a man and wife team, Priscilla and Aquila, who set up their home. And through these people, the word of God about Jesus Christ had grown in influence. People had come to believe in Jesus Christ, not to believe in all the other gods, but the one true God, and Jesus is the only way to him. And that their lives were changed, and their beliefs were changed, their way of living was changed, and the economy of the city was going to be changed. No doubt we can understand a little of why the city was in uproar. So where was this place? Just briefly, to set it in context. The place was Ephesus. And on the map there, you can just see more or less bang in the middle on the western side of what we would call Turkey today, in the Roman province of Asia. That's where it was placed. And it was a port city. It was, someone has said, it's like, if this is the United States, it's like New York is to Washington. It wasn't the capital of the empire, but it was the financial center and a center in many ways. And so it was a key place for the growing church of Jesus Christ to take root through the ministry of Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. It was strategic for the gospel. Thank you. Now, it was strategically, economically, and politically, and also religiously. It was famous for its occult practices. It was a place full of sorcerers and fortune tellers and diviners, all charging for their services. There were the famous Ephesian letters, kind of magic charms that people would, if they were running in a race, put it round their ankle to go faster or help them in business or whatever. It was a place where the occult was very present. It was also the center, as we got a clue in that cry of the people, for the worship of Artemis. Go to the next picture, please. Now, this was the temple of Artemis, or Diana as it was for the Romans, one of the 7 wonders of the world at that time. It was at least twice as big as the Parthenon in Athens. It had 100-plus columns. It was an amazing, amazing building. And it was the center of this worship of Artemis or Diana throughout the empire. It was also, thank you, it was also a center of the cult of emperor worship. In order to bind the empire together with all its different nations and beliefs, etc., the emperor declared himself divine, and people had to honor him. Just the phrase, Caesar is Lord. And those who wouldn't, but would say Jesus is Lord, were in trouble. So into this city, full of all this occult power, the center of this worldwide religion in the world of those days, and the center of emperor worship, comes Paul and Priscilla and Aquila. And they want to talk about Jesus as the only way. And we think we've got a tough task in sharing the message of Jesus. So we thank God for these three. And their time there, Paul in the end spent almost 3 years in that place. It was so important. You know, there are some ministries and things that take time and time. We were thinking about that in the reordering, weren't we? It takes time. And Paul spent a lot of time there. And from that place, the church grew amazingly. Now, we may think, well, there are some similarities in a place like that, but it's not really like that for us. We don't have that kind of a challenge that people will object to what we share of our faith. But increasingly, we know that is so. Recent headlines in papers have been, teacher suspended for expressing Christian belief in reference homosexuality. Foster parents' application terminated due to their Christian beliefs. A doctor under investigation for sharing his faith with a patient. A nurse told to remove her cross. A supply teacher dismissed for offering prayer. All headlines over recent months. It's interesting that the former Attorney General has expressed concern, as he calls it, an aggressive form of secularism trying to exclude Christians from public sector. He said that it's extraordinary that Christians are being sacked or disciplined for expressing their beliefs at work. I worry there are attempts to push faith out of public space. Clearly, it happens at a level of local power. This is the previous Attorney General expressing concern. So we know our context may not be quite as violent as it was for those early Christians in Ephesus, and certainly not like those who live in places like Iraq today. But nonetheless, you know, if you're seeking to live out the life of the follower of Jesus, that it isn't easy. Not just the normal struggles that we have by living in this world, but if you try and commend Jesus to other people, you will not always get a good reception. Why? Because it's all right if it remains private, but once you start talking about people's life and their use of money and its effect on business, then we have problems. So we look briefly, and we have to be brief, don't we? At the preaching of Paul and the response of the people. The preaching of Paul and the response of the people. He stayed there, as I said, for almost 3 years, preaching and teaching. For the first 3 months, he was in the synagogue, there amongst people who did believe in the one true God. And he spoke, we read, boldly, persuading people, arguing them persuasively about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what Jesus spoke about. The kingdom, when we pray, your kingdom come, what do we mean by that? Not just that I have a personal relationship with God, but all that is good that God wants for people should happen. The love of God that we share should mean that relationships are good, homes are good, healthy places, business works well, there is justice in the community. It begins with our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but it only begins there. And the effect upon our lives and our communities is part of what it is, the kingdom of God. Now, in other words, he was talking to people who had faith in God, and he was taking them further. How do we react when someone comes to bring an aspect of the Christian faith that maybe we haven't considered before? And wants to stretch us in our discipleship. It was a bit like that for those Jews in Ephesus. And of course, what was the result? Some believed and became, the word is used, disciples, learners, followers of that way. But we read, some became obstinate and they refused to believe and publicly maligned the way, the term used for people who followed the way of Jesus. So there was that reaction. So again, what is our reaction? It's interesting that when Paul went to a place called Berea, we read, they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Do you do that? I like it when I'm at the door and people make a comment, not saying, thank you, John, that's a nice sermon, but like happened to me a few weeks ago at another church, I won't mention it, and the chap came and said, thank you for coming this morning. I didn't agree with what you said. And we had a good discussion. All right. But in other words, as we receive the word of God, think about it. It reminds me of a lovely man when Barbara and I were in a sort of outback town in Paraguay. And there, if you got the money, you could buy time on the radio. So the church that was poor bought 5 minutes in siesta time every day. And one of the questions put to my friend there, he was a local milkman, said, I understand that in your church you read the Bible and the preacher preaches from the Bible. Yes, he said, but it's not just the preacher who does that. We have our Bibles open just to check that what he's saying is true. It's not critical. It's, in other words, how do we react either to preachers or teachers? In our home groups is a good place for that. But in other words, they responded. Then, of course, because Paul, in a sense, was rejected there, the very interesting thing is, he then went to teach in a public lecture hall. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, a secular lecture hall. It reminded me of some years ago when I visited the university chaplaincy here to get to know the Anglican chaplain there. He said, oh, I want to introduce to you my Muslim counterpart. A lovely Muslim man, and he was there, and we had some good conversations. And he said to me, he said, I've got a challenge for you two Christian ministers. He said, I hold public lectures in Ipswich. I think he used the Friends Meeting House, on Islam. Not for followers of Islam, but others who want to know. I give public lectures. Why aren't you doing the same? Good question. Well, maybe we are. Hopefully, that's what Alpha is. Hopefully, not only Alpha in our churches, but like one church has got one in Costa Cafe. One of the best that I was involved in was during the lunchtime in a Barclays Bank headquarters in Peterborough, and I was there. In other words, where are the places? The thrill that, although they talk about the numbers of churches going to churches still diminishing, in other places it's growing. Messy Church, for example, is growing like Topsy. Different ways of finding how we can take the message of Jesus out of this kind of context. Hopefully it will continue here till the Lord comes. But the places, like Paul did, out into the secular place. And there share the message of Jesus. And of course, what happened? Well, what happened was that he was there in siesta time. One Greek text has this in verse 9. From the fifth hour to the tenth. He was in that lecture hall. And that's from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., which in that country, in that culture at that time, was siesta. It was said that more people were awake at 1 a.m. in Ephesus than 1 p.m. And this is a picture. Paul, at that time, was earning his living by tent making. So he'd work at tent making in the morning and in the afternoon, and in the siesta, instead of having a rest, he would for hours teach the truth about God and Jesus. Now that's dedication on the part of a preacher. So that's a message to those of us who are preachers. But what about the people? They gave their siesta to listening to the teaching of God's word. And that speaks to me not only of what it says, how faithful those of us who are called to be preachers and teachers have to be, but for all of us. How hungry are we to hear the word of God? How hungry are we to grow in our faith? That's why we encourage people who can to be in home groups. We encourage us all to read the scriptures daily. I mean, there are so many ways now. Printed pages, booklets, technology. Doesn't matter where you go, you can get the Bible and Bible notes and everything. But there is concern in people like Bible Society and some of our bishops that the people of God are not being people of the Word. How do I stand alongside those people in that not very encouraging environment, Ephesus? Each siesta for many of them, drinking in the Word of God through Paul. And they therefore gave that time. And what was the result of it? And what was the result here is the Word that comes. Can we have the next picture, please? This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks, that means everybody, who lived in the province of Asia, heard the word of the Lord. Now just think of that. For 2 years, these lectures went on in the siesta time. And the result was that everybody in the whole province heard the word of the Lord. How could that be if Paul stayed in Ephesus? Answers on a postcard. No, you know. It means that those who heard then took the word out to where they traveled. Do we have a next picture on there? Yes, there we are. It's a bit indistinct. But there are some of the churches that we know about. Laodicea, Hierapolis, Philadelphia, Thyatira, Sardis, Smyrna, etc. Those churches came into being not because Paul went there, but because those who heard the word, whether it was in business or in moving or holidays or whatever, they took the word out. So the important thing is not just Paul preaching and teaching for all that time, but the way that people believed it, received it, and went and shared it. So what does that mean for you and for me in this week where we live and where the Lord sends us? So we thank the Lord for that example for us. So we've seen that wonderful way in which Paul preached. The people were hungry for the word and they shared it. So everybody in the province of Asia heard. That's exciting. And secondly, I mean, only 2 points today. The action of Paul and the reaction of the people. We've already noticed that Ephesus was the center of the occult. In our own time, we know I drive by a pub on the way home. I do drive by it. And it has regularly out there clairvoyance sessions, Tuesday, whatever. You know, we know it's all around us. But we have the way we can have personal encounters daily with the living God. But it's not an empty playing field. There are others out there peddling other beliefs. And we need to share with them, like somebody I heard recently. Somebody was telling them about going on a Buddhist retreat, which gave them an opportunity to talk about quiet times with the living God through Jesus. What are the ways that the Lord gives to us to talk to people about the reality rather than the counterfeit? And of course, it was such an environment that we read that Paul did extraordinary miracles. I mean, the miracles were ordinary, but he did extraordinary ones. And there are times when extraordinary miracles happen. If Danny were here, you could ask him about Chile, where at one time, in an evangelistic rally, people's teeth were filled miraculously. Now, wouldn't that be great, unless you're a dentist? The background of that was there was a very aggressive occult activity going on. And we might say, when we hear, for example, in St. George's, Baghdad, that it's regularly happening that people are healed miraculously alongside their clinic work. Or there's tremendous manifestations of the presence of God. And we say, well, why them? Well, when we read that in the past 5 years, 257 Christians have been killed from that congregation, 11 leaders of Alpha have been kidnapped and murdered, we can understand why the vicar of Baghdad says that God's presence manifests in such an overt way in order to give hope to the people who are enduring such suffering and the trouble they're having there in Iraq. For Paul, the regular was the casting out of evil spirits. It impacted him. He wrote later that I fought wild beasts in Ephesus, not in the arena, but spiritually. And how he said to Christians later on in Ephesus in his epistle. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God. We are involved in a spiritual battle for the hearts and minds and souls of the people of Ipswich and for the well-being of our town. The reaction of the people was, of course, many of them did believe. And they brought all their magic books and tokens and things, and they had a great bonfire. Someone calculated the value was 137 wages in books, 137 years in wages. In other words, they wanted to show that they were getting rid of all that old way of believing. I remember a time when Barbara and another lady were praying with some member of our congregation way back who was sick, and it came out that in a word given, that the husband who'd been a mason and because of it coming to Christ had stood back from that and got rid of this stuff, but nonetheless had kept a particular bit of regalia because it was so valuable. And it was revealed that that was a blockage in prayer. So he did that, he took it in the back garden and burnt it. I wonder what you might have that needs burning. Maybe not literally. Maybe on your computer. Maybe on your bookshelf. Or even your music collection. What is it that something that is not actually conducive with saying Jesus is Lord of my life? Maybe that's something you need to pray about or ask someone else to pray with you. And in this way, this demonstration, we read those exciting words. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Isn't that wonderful? The word of the Lord, that's not just the words that are written, but as they were lived out in the lives of people, it grew in power. The power of God's word. But of course, the trouble was, it was seen that it was beginning to affect people's lives, giving up their old beliefs and changing their way of life to lead holy lives in the power of God's Spirit. And because people were getting rid of the things of their old religion, it meant that the main religion of the worship of Artemis was being affected. And someone has said one of the shop stewards, or maybe one of the guild leaders of the silversmiths who made lots of money from all the sort of trinkets about the goddess Artemis or Diana. He called people together and said, there is a danger that we're going to lose our trade and, of course, the goddess will lose her fame. That's what got the crowds out. Their whole way of living was being challenged by the gospel of Jesus. And that's, of course, why people, some, are concerned in our country. We know that the way of Jesus is the way of love and joy and peace and wholesomeness. But there are those who find that it's too challenging. When Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money, he meant it. And how much of our business life, our life and our discussions, you know, we can't have a sanction here because it might affect us economically. You know, that's on a national scale. But for ourselves too, do we demonstrate that it really is? Seek first the kingdom of God and the way that's pleasing to him, and he will see that we have sufficient for our needs. And so it is this thrilling fact that the gospel came into this town through, first of all, a husband and wife and the use of their home. It's interesting to read about it. But also through the faithful preaching of Paul. His faithful preaching, giving himself totally, but also the amazing response of the people who allowed the power of that word to be effective in their lives, for them to share that word, not just what they lived, but throughout the whole province. And originally, I was on the rota to preach about the next chapter, where Paul preached late on into the night. He preached a long time. Somebody fell asleep and died because they fell out the window. I said to Nick, was that getting at me about my long sermons and people fall asleep? Maybe not. But what it does say is that, yes, the place of preaching is important. But equally, maybe more important, is how we listen and how we take it on board. Let me just say, the notice sheet not quite right. Next week, I'm not preaching again, you'll be pleased to hear. It is Tanas, my Palestinian Christian friend. You must come and hear Tanas and hear him preach about the ministry of God and the power of word in Palestine, Israel today. But this is what thrilled me reading this chapter. How despite all the problems and challenges, the word of God took life in those people. And that word was spread. As it says there, in this way, not only the preaching and the teaching, but the response of the people, in this way, the word of the Lord spread and grew in power. Do we want that for Ipswich? Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that what we read about, the way in which your Spirit moved in days gone by, is the same Spirit today. I thank you, Lord, for your love for me. We thank you, Lord, for your love for the people of this town and beyond. We pray that we ourselves might receive your word and by the power of your Spirit live it, that more people may come to know your amazing love. In the name of Jesus. Amen.